This podcast contains explicit language. Viewer discretion is advised.
He got the shot off! Throw it down!
He runs with the 50. He runs with the 40. The guy is drunk.
Here we go.
Bang it up!
You're listening to the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast with your host, Josh Lozano.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lozano, part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Thank you for joining me. This one's going to be a little solo dolo episode, one take Drake. It's just going to be me. But what I'm basically going to do for this is a full encompass of the All-Star game, kind of like an All-Star game for dummies. But, you know, you guys aren't dummies if you're listening to this show. But I'll explain how the All-Star game's voted, why I think when, you know, fans are like, oh, why did this guy get it? Even though we all know he's going to be an injury replacement. Things like that, how the voting works, the actual voting. I have the breakdown of the numbers. Do players get bonuses for this? That kind of stuff. And then afterwards, I'm going to talk a little bit about the 31 games that got postponed and finish up with the strength of schedule that just got released for the second half of the season. So we'll just get right into it. So when the All-Stars got announced, you had the five starters for the West, five starters for the East. For those of you that don't know how it works, is the All-Star voting, you get two guards in the starters and then three forwards. So for the West, the two guards were Luka and Steph. There was a little bit of an uproar. A lot of people were like, hey, I think Dame should have got in over Luka. I'll explain how Luka got in. And I agree. I think Dame has a better season than Luka. Luka even came out and admitted it too. Almost forgot it. Since we are talking about the Don, I got to drop the
bitch-ass white boy. Listen.
The Ernie Johnson, Montrezl Harrell.
Bitch-ass white boy. Listen.
On the other end of the side, we have Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, the two guards of the East. And then you have Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Joel Embiid, who is looks like he's kind of the MVP front runner for the Twitter sphere. And then LeBron James is the MVP front runner for the media sphere. I personally like Nikola Jokic. I think he is having a better season, both of them, but you know his team doesn't have the wins for it. But that's a topic for another podcast. And then how the starters get picked, it's 50% fan vote. So think about this as kind of, you know, when you have a syllabus and your professor's like, hey, you can kind of flunk, you can flunk the quizzes as long as you get the test right. So that's kind of what the fan vote is. Fan vote is 50%. Then after that, the other 50 is split in half, 25% players, 25% media. So the fan vote will always edge out the media. And I have the numbers for the starters here. I'll just go off with the West. LeBron James was number one in all three, so player, fan, media. That's probably why he ended up being a captain. Makes sense. LeBron James, the media is all over him this year. They really want him to win MVP. Players, it's just hard to deny him as, you know, the best front court player in the NBA in the West. And also, I think if they did like an all-encompass poll, LeBron would be number one. And fan vote makes sense. Next one was Nikola Jokic. He swept number two in everything. And then Kawhi Leonard, he was three in the fan vote, four in the players vote, and then three in the media. Kind of funny. I don't know how he actually got picked lower in the players vote than Anthony Davis. Why? I'm not sure. I think that Kawhi Leonard's having a better season than Anthony Davis. He's kind of having a slump year. But the players, for some reason, voted Anthony Davis higher than Kawhi. I'm not sure. Maybe they don't like Kawhi. I really don't know what the reason is for it. You can only speculate. But what's interesting is the media had Kawhi as number three and Anthony Davis as number five. So there's a disconnect right there between the media and the players. Not sure, but Kawhi Leonard was voted as a starter. Anthony Davis got picked as a reserve. And I'll talk about that a little bit more too in the podcast because some people were like, why did Anthony Davis get picked? I knew he was going to be an injury reserve and Adam Silver was just going to use that as an excuse to, you know, sell more jerseys, trying to get as many players as they can get in there. But That's the front court. And then for the guards, so this is where the little bit of the drama was happening with
bitch-ass white boy. Listen.
Luka Doncic. But so you had Steph Curry, number one across the board. Fans love him. Like, you can't get enough about Steph Curry. Player rankings, they put him number one guard. Media had him number one. So he's basically, like, he LeBron James'd it, or I guess I could say LeBron James, Steph Curry'd it. Doesn't really matter. You can flip-flop it either way. But Luka, so this is where it kind of got hot. So the fan vote, the fans had Luka number two. The fans had Dame number three. All right, so right there, Luka edges them out because, you know, fan votes are worth 50% more. It's like going back to that whole syllabus thing. a player ranking, Luka was number three, and media, Luka was number three. Damian Lillard had a number two in player and in media. So the guys that are actually on the court and the guys that actually cover the league, get paid to cover the league, were like, Damian Lillard is our all-star. He's a better player. Luka just got it because the fans wanted him there. So, and Luka was kind of a good sport about it. He came out on the public and it was like, hey, man, I don't think I deserve this over Damian Lillard. He's like, to me, Damian Lillard is an all-star starter. Dame's one of those guys that it's kind of a cliche, but everyone's like, oh, Damian Lillard's everyone's, you know, favorite basketball player, favorite basketball player. What makes Dame so cool is he won't, you know, have a bitch fit about this. He's not going to, you know, complain and moan. He's just going to be like, you know, hey, I'm an all-star. I know I'm an all-star. I don't need you guys to tell me that I'm an all-star to be there. So he got picked as like one of the first reserves. What's interesting when you look at the one of the guys that was super low on there was DeMar DeRozan, but he was actually in a six-way tie with the media for fifth place, but he just was ranked 12th in the fan vote, so he had absolutely no shot at making it. Another thing that was interesting was Carmelo Anthony was up there. Carmelo had enough votes to make him top 10 for an NBA front court spot, which was kind of surprising, but I get it. Like, there's a nostalgia thing going with Melo. But that's the starters for the West. There wasn't too much drama in the East. Kevin Durant was number one in fan, number one in player, which I think much deserved. But number three, he was for some reason number three in the media. So not sure why. You know, maybe media doesn't really like Kevin Durant too much. Him and Kyrie, maybe they just didn't like the way that they're going about things. You know, I'm a fan, so I don't that stuff didn't really bother me. A little surprising because fans and players ranked him number one. He was number three. After that, you had Giannis and Joel Embiid. Those were easy picks. Media had Giannis as number one, who he's having a sneaky MVP season, but no one's talking about it because it's kind of like voter fatigue. One that was really surprising to me was Bradley Beal, which I'm so happy Real Deal Beal's making it. But I didn't think that I didn't think he was going to get enough fan votes because, you know, Trae Young last year made it as a starter with all the fan votes. Now he only got six. So that's telling me something. There's like a voter, like people maybe don't like the way Trae Young plays their games. Like when Trae Young played, there was that whole Steve Nash talking about, hey, this isn't basketball. So maybe opposing teams' fans just don't like watching the type of game Trae Young plays because he dropped all the way to six to fan votes. The players picked him 11th. So there was 10 guys that the players were like, he deserves to be an all-star over Trae Young. Some of those names are like Fred VanVleet, like Jaylen Brown, all these guys. The players are kind of sick of Trae Young, and then the media had him 6th too. So I'm really glad that Bradley Beal was able to make it as a starter because he deserves it, despite the team having a shitty record. And then there's Kyrie, and then James Harden would have made it too. He was number three in fan vote, number three in player, number three in media, but there's only two guard spots. So, and that's kind of where he went in. But those are the starters. The reserves, I'm just going to shoot them off real quick. In the West, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, Zion Williamson, Anthony Davis. We knew he wasn't going to play anyways, but he still got in. And then they replaced him with Devin Booker. A lot of people were kind of like, you know, what's the term? Oh, big braining it. They're galaxy braining it. They're like, oh, how did Devin Booker not make it? But, you know, the reserves are just picked by the coaches. So I'm not sure. I couldn't figure out if only the West coaches vote for the West players, or if, you know, West can vote for West and East. But the coaches picked Chris Paul. Their thought process was probably like, hey, this team's almost identical to what it was last year. The only difference is Chris Paul. Now they're one of the upper echelon teams in the West, so we have to give it to him. He's kind of like a legacy vote. And Chris Paul is having an all-star season. Maybe not as good a statistical season as Devin Booker, but I knew that Devin Booker was going to make it. I knew Anthony Davis was going to play. And I just don't understand why there's all these uproar about it. Like, I feel like people need to use a little bit of common sense. And then I think Adam Silver, you know, he did a little sprinkle of like his commissioner powers, because he probably wants as many all-stars as he can so he could sell more jerseys. So that was my theory. And then in the East, you had Jaylen Brown, James Harden, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, who I'm super happy about. First time all-star, much deserved, Julius Randle, Laker alumni. Then you had Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, and Nikolai Vucevic. Vucci Main made it. A little surprising because I thought Dante Sabonis was going to make it because he was an all-star last year and his numbers are better than they were last year. Same thing with Vucevic, but they're the fourth seed as I'm recording this in the East. So I thought the coaches were going to give it to him. But instead, they gave it to Vucci Main. I got nothing against it. A lot of people were upset. I had a feeling Nikolai Vucevic got voted in, that meant there was a injury replacement. And then they got announced that Kevin Durant's actually not going to play. Don't know how that's going to work because he's the captain. Can he still be captain? Because he's still going to pick? Is it still going to be like Team LeBron versus Team Durant? Or are they going to pick Giannis or Embiid to replace him as captain? But as soon as I saw Nikolai Vucevic, I knew they were going to replace him because Sabonis had to make it. So they put him in. Also, Zach LaVine, first-time All-Star. I got to give him some credit, too. I kind of glossed over that, but really happy about that. And then Jaylen Brown, too, first-time All-Star. So you got a lot of first-timers on the East, a bunch of new faces. But so that's it. Next thing that I wanted to answer was some people, because I wasn't even too sure, how does the bonus work for NBA All-Star? So last year, what they did is the winners, I believe, was got like extra $100K added to their salary. And then they also were able to donate, it was like $300,000 to a charity of the player's choice. And I'm not sure what Team LeBron and Team Giannis picked, but I think they're going to be doing that the same style this year. But usually how it works is players have a contract incentive. For example, so when Kevin Durant wasn't going to play, that basically cost the Pacers $1.3 million because now that Sabonis became an All-Star, they have to, he kind of got like a bump in his salary. So we went from getting paid $18.5 million to $19.8 million. So, I mean, Sabonis is happy. His family's happy. Everyone is happy for Sabonis, except for maybe the Indiana Pacers, who are a franchise that's notorious for not wanting to spend a lot of money. So, and with that, here, I'm going to give a break and give a little bit of airtime to our sponsor right now.
Support for the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision. You know what? You hear that? Listen, I'm going off the script. That's how much I actually like Manscaped. I don't even need this script. Listen, Manscaped hooked me up with a bunch of tools and formulations from their Perfect Package 3.0 kit that includes this Space Age Lawnmower Ball Trimmer 3.0. This trimmer features cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Listen, you'll be able to trim those family jewels with confidence, like Steph Curry has confidence at the free throw line. Listen, this trimmer even comes with an LED light. It's waterproof. But we should be sending this to Mars. I can't talk enough about this trimmer. Please stop using the same razor on your face that you use for the lower body. We're not Neanderthals. That's just gross. Also, in this Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, it came with a crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. What? Listen, we already put deodorant on our armpits. Why aren't you putting it on the smelliest part of your body? Think that's everything. No, like what Billy Mays said, but wait, there's more. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts in their package that you can also get if you order it. A pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. And a nice little handy-dandy travel bag. That way you don't have all your, you know, spilling in your suitcase. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BNB. That's the letters BNB at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code BNB. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
All right, so second half of the show, there's 31 NBA games that have been postponed, which is me saying that and then also talking about having an additional All-Star game is crazy to think about. So you would think that we'd want to limit the amount of games that we can have. The NBA is doing, you know, their best for PR and optics, but like I've been saying for the whole season, I just want the NBA to be honest. Like they're saying like, oh, with, you know, extreme caution or with the player safety in mind. It's like, okay, I get it, but you know, what Adam Silver is trying to be the good guy, but also make the tough decisions for the league, which I understand it's a business. You got to do what you can to generate the money, keep it going. But what, see, what David Stern would do, but this is what made David Stern like public enemy number one was David Stern was he's honest. That's why he'd always get the boo birds. Adam Silver's trying to play like a Littlefinger, you know, if you're a Game of Thrones fan out there, Littlefinger-ish style where it's like, oh, we care about the players. You know, we're always players safety first. That's why we're doing things like you can't trade jerseys after the end of the game, even though, you know, they're playing. We separate the seats. We're doing all that. But if it's, you know, player safety first, you wouldn't even have an All-Star game. And it's funny because it's happening in Atlanta. And I've talked to some people who visited Atlanta and they're saying, yeah, we've just been open. You know, there's people walking around without masks. It's like, there's bars that's open. There's not like limits. So, you know, even though Adam Silver and the mayor were saying like, we don't want any festivities. This is just a fan event. They're going to have stuff out there. There's like a bunch of like hilarious posters. If you follow my Twitter, I'm retweeting it, which is like, chicken and waffles and futures playing, and they got Trey Songz and all these guys coming. So it's a big party out there in Atlanta. But at least David Stern, he wasn't, tiptoeing around it. When David Stern vetoed the Chris Paul trade, he wasn't like, oh, for, the betterment of yada, yada, yada. David Stern was like, hey, listen, the NBA technically right now controls the Pelicans. I don't think this is a fair trade for Chris Paul. And I also don't think that this is, a good look for the league with the Lakers being so good. And I hated him for it as a Laker fan, obviously. But at least David Stern would be a straight shooter about it. And I think that's why he would go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, NBA commissioner, especially for what he was able to do for the game, really grow it internationally. He really helped build the type of relationship that we have in the NBA with countries like China, NBA across borders. That's how we're able to find these great players like Giannis and Joel Embiid, where he sends these NBA players to different countries and where they help build basketball courts and try and find talent. That was all really David Stern's idea, but at least David Stern wouldn't, Adam Silver's kind of going about where he's pissing on your leg right now and saying it's rain, but at least David Stern would just be like, yeah, I'm just pissing on your leg. So that's funny. 31 games postponed. We'll see. Now, onto the strength of schedule. So got released. Right now, it looks like Miami, Brooklyn, Utah, Dallas, Charlotte are going to have the easiest strength of schedules left, which is really good for Miami. Miami's kind of turned it on. They didn't look like the team that made it to the finals when the season started, but now they look like a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. So hopefully, because there's a huge logjam in the East. It is it's packed. It's like New York driving during prime time. So the Raptors are the fourth seed, right, with 17 wins. And then after that, the Hawks are the 11th seed, and they're only three games behind them. So that's the type of logjam that they have, where if any team goes on a slight win or lose streak, they'll drop them significantly. So you got teams like the Wizards, Hawks, Hornets, and Pacers right now. So they're all between 15 and 13 wins, fighting to get into the playoffs. Then the 8th seed you have is the 15-win Bulls, the 16-win Heat, 16-win Celtics, 17-win Knicks, 17-win Raptors. So it's basically like if you are over 500, you're going to make the playoffs because you have you have the Raptors who are just at 500, the Knicks are just at 500, and then the 6th seed is the Celtics who are 16 and 17. So it's a huge logjam right there. So this is super beneficial to Miami. Brooklyn has a really easy schedule, which is crazy to think because this looked like they didn't need it. They had a tough road trip going out west where they didn't even have Kevin Durant, and they looked unstoppable. So that's very interesting. I'm going to be curious to see if Philly's going to be able to hold that one seed because the Nets do have an easy schedule, and they just look great. Their defense was kind of the concern at the beginning of the season. I don't see that as a concern anymore. Come playoff time, possibly, but if they get the first seed and they don't have to face a team, like, I think the worst case scenario for the Nets is if they get a high seed, like the one seed, and they have to somehow face like Miami, who is the 8th seed. But I don't think that's going to happen because I think that's going to be a tough matchup because they have a big in Bam that the Nets can't really defend. Now, the Nets obviously have more talent. The Nets are probably the single most talented team in the entire league right now. But I think Miami has a good chance to match up with them. That would be worst case scenario. Best case is they get the first seed. They get somebody like the Pacers. They get someone like the Hawks. They cruise through. Hopefully, they only have to face the Sixers or the Bucks because the Sixers and the Bucks are going to face each other if they're 2 and 3 seed. So that would be best case for the Nets. Sixers, same thing. You want the first seed because you don't want to see the Nets until possibly the end of the tournament. You want the Nets and the Bucks to face each other. So we'll see. I'll be a little bit surprised if Philly able to hold it. I don't think it's not that they can't. It's just that the Nets are just, they're gifted with this easy tail end schedule because they won all their earlier games. So now they're kind of like reaping the rewards they sowed. And then on the West side, it's going to be the Lakers have the fifth toughest schedule so far. You know how it is with LeBron James. It's kind of notorious where they save all the primetime great games with LeBron until the second half of the season because there's less sports going on. So that's always kind of like a LeBron thing. The Cavs always had a tougher second half schedule than they have a first half. So we'll see how that affects the Lakers as they're right now in the standing. They're the third seed behind the Clippers and the Jazz. Everyone's on the Jazz. I think that they're playing really well. I'm curious to see how their play translates in the playoffs because they don't really have, Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. But is he, you know, the Kawhi LeBron level type of star that will, you know, drag you to the finals? I'm not sure yet. Could he be? Possibly. But is he this season? I don't think so yet. So that's what we'll see. But, you know, the argument's like, oh, the Jazz is 3-2-10, guys, is better than the Clippers and Lakers 3-2-10. But yeah, but how many times has that argument helped? Probably the last time a team like that won the championship was the Detroit Pistons. You know, back in the early 2000s, ones that beat that super team that had a Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant. Other teams in the West to look out for with their schedules is the Clippers have the 21st easiest schedule. So there's a possibility that they could sneak up on the Jazz. Let me rephrase that. So the Jazz have the 28th easiest schedule left going into the second half of the season. It's going to be interesting because the Clippers, I think, can catch them. I think possibly the Lakers too, but I think if the Jazz hold it, we're going to see a Laker. We don't have to wait until the Western Conference Finals to see a Lakers versus Clippers matchup. The Battle of LA will happen early if it's happening in the second round. So that's going to be something to look out for. That would be the Jazz's perfect dream. It's kind of like what I was saying, where if the Philly can hold the first seed in the East, then it would force, you know, the Nets and Giannis and the Bucks to face each other off. So that's one less team you have to worry about. So if the Jazz hold the first seed, you're going to force the two LA teams to fight each other early, and then you only got to knock out one instead of having going through two. So that's the Jazz's best case scenario, and I think the Jazz can do it. The Clippers could catch up to them. They are about 3.5 games back. But I mean, the Jazz has the second easiest schedule left, or the third easiest schedule left in the league. So, and then also they're relatively healthy, and they're a team that has shown they missed Mike Conley for a little bit. They were winning games. They missed Donovan Mitchell. They were still winning games. The Clippers missed some time with Kawhi and Paul George, and the Lakers are obviously dealing with Anthony Davis issues. So we'll see how those two do. I'm not worried. I think if they make it to the playoffs, the Lakers and the Clippers have a chance to beat anyone. So. But that's pretty interesting. Another key thing to look at is Portland. Portland has a pretty tough schedule. They're about like top 10. We'll see how they do. Damian Lillard's like a dark horse MVP candidate. I'm curious to see how well they're going to play when Nurkic does come back, because apparently he looks like he's going to be coming right after All-Star break. That's going to help their team a lot. And they're another team that you possibly don't want to face early. But that's all I really had. This had to be like a short-ish episode. Doing it solo, I just wanted to update you guys on the All-Star break, get my thoughts about the strength of schedule. Make sure to subscribe and share it to a friend. And also, I'm announcing that jersey giveaway. So thank you guys for supporting the show and doing that. I'm really happy to do that, to give it away. And then also, if you listen to that Manscaped ad, use that code, please. Help us out. This is like our first kind of big sponsor. So we'd really appreciate it if you guys use the code. And always, thanks for listening.